The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I have two very wonderful travelers for today's episode of Travel with Hawkeye, the podcast. The first being Caroline Makepeace. She's from the Wide Travel Blog. I've had her on before, and I say this, and I'll say it again. The best accent in all of travel. Her and her husband are from Australia. They moved to the U.S. to travel around the U.S. and experience this. And they also write a travel blog, which is a great travel blog, Why Travel Blog. And they had an article about five common travel mistakes, some that I've made myself. And I thought, you know what? I'd like to share these with everybody. So Caroline will be with us shortly to talk about that and to enjoy her accent. But before that, I must admit that one of my things on my bucket list is to hike the Appalachian Trail, is just to have a pack on my back and just go from month to month hiking from Georgia all the way up into Maine. I don't know if I'll ever get an opportunity to do that just because of the time commitment, though I have done some rather extensive backpacking and canoe trips. So I think that I'm, you know, of the ilk that I could do it. But there's a gentleman out there who's made a trip of sorts and has chronicalized it in a recent book. Ken Algunas has written a book called Trespassing Across America, One Man's Epic, Never Done Before, and Sort of Illegal Hike Across the Heartland. And Ken joins us on the podcast today. And Ken, now, first of all, you left Alberta, Canada, and hiked across the U.S. to Port Aransas, Texas. Now, tell people why you did this.
That's right. Yeah, it was a 1,700-mile hike across the Great Plains, and I was interested in it, and for a couple of reasons. One, I was just attracted to the adventure of it. This was a route that no one, as far as I knew, had taken it and taken in modern times. This was across the Great Plains. It was across private property. And I was just really intrigued with the adventure. I was also intrigued on kind of like an environmental level. Back in 2011, when I got the idea, the Keystone XL was in the news all the time.
The pipeline.
And the Keystone XL was a pipeline, and this was the route I would be following. And I was just really intrigued with why folks were making a big hullabaloo over this pipeline. And I wanted to kind of just go out there and learn everything I could about it and just kind of capture the moment.
Okay. So now your hike, what are the dates that you went on this hike, and where was it in reference to when this hike, this pipeline was defeated?
Gotcha. Yeah. So this pipeline was being fought over at the time. And this was in September 2012 is when I started the hike. Way too late in the year to be starting.
Yes.
In Canada. And I ended it in February 2013. So overall, it took me about 4.5 months.
Now, this hike, you know, first of all, there's a purpose to the hike, too. I mean, it wasn't just to follow the path. There's an environmental purpose. You're making a statement, correct?
I don't even want to think about it that way. And I didn't,
okay.
I didn't think about it that way because, I don't know, I just wanted to go out. I just felt strangely drawn to this pipe and to this area. And I just wanted to go out there and experience it and just see what happens. So I don't know if I had, to this day, I don't really know why I did it, but I did not have like this intention to have like a voice or anything like that. I just figured something interesting is going to come out of this hike. And it certainly did.
Now, a lot of this pipeline is due to be on private land. So your hike went across private land, did it not?
That's right. Yeah. So pipelines, they don't like roads. Pipelines, they like to get to their market or refinery or whatever in as few miles as they can. So they're going to cut across country. They're going to go across grasslands. They're going to go across cropland. They're going to go across private property. So to hike the Keystone XL, I'd essentially have to trespass across America. And that's just what I did.
And that's the title of the book, Trespassing Across America. Now, were there any problems that you had by crossing private land?
You would think so. But let's imagine ourselves up in Alberta or Montana, you know, which is in many areas like Texas, where you have one family that runs 60,000 acres. You know, like this is the size of like a big city. So it's not like I'm walking through someone's suburban backyard over grandma's flower beds or anything like that. I'm walking like in a national park over these rolling grasslands. I don't see homes. I don't see roads. I don't see people for you know, good stretches of this trip. So I felt, you know, I felt liberated. I felt free. I was just hopping fences, walking through cow herds, and walking through some of the most amazing, mesmerizing landscape I'd ever set foot on.
Now, you were saying when you left, you just kind of wanted to see what you would discover, and you said you did discover some pretty amazing things. What are some of the things, other than the hiking in some amazing natural areas, what are some of the other things that you discovered?
Well, I discovered that I was afraid of cows. I'm a suburbanite from New York. That's where I grew up, and I'd never even, you know, touched a cow. So the prospect of walking through thousands and thousands of them, you know, herds every single day, it was more than a little bit frightening because I didn't know much about the animal. So the first few days, I'm just terrified walking through these herds. But over time, that phobia goes away when I realize there's just a bunch of scaredy cats. You know, one runs away, then the whole herd runs away. However, once in South Dakota, I hop this fence and I walk in this field and I go up to this this big herd of black Angus cows. And I start walking down this hill, and all these cows start chasing me. There's a stampede. There's 20 cows behind me, you know, going pell-mell. And I take off on the fastest run of my life. I drop my backpack. I throw my trekking poles, and I'm just flying across the prairie, and I roll under this barbed wire fence. I've never been so terrified in my life.
And you obviously had to go back and get your gear and everything. What happened when you got to the other side of the fence? Did they just kind of give up on the chase?
They gave. I mean, I had to do a couple. Go back in there a few times. I had to find my trekking poles, and I never ended up finding my hunting vest. I wore that just so hunters made sure I wasn't a deer. But yeah, I ended up getting my stuff, and that phobia of cows was back for the duration. And when I talked to like a Nebraska rancher about this, he just laughs at me because he's just like, "Oh, they're just curious, or they were just hungry, or
they're hungry."
Like that. Yeah, because you know sometimes they're, you know, humans come out with a big barrel of hay and feed them, so they're associating me with that. But at the time, I thought they were ready to eat me.
Now, did you have any problems with people during your trip?
For the most part, no. And that's what was really surprising. You know, I went 1,700 miles across America, a number of states and provinces over the course of 4.5 months. And I can probably count the negative experiences, and most of them weren't even that negative, on one hand. For the most part, I saw nothing but kindness and generosity, you know, people coming up to me, if I crossed a road, if I was on a road, people bringing over a bag of McDonald's or, you know, offering me money or offering me a ride or offering me food and shelter in their homes to a complete stranger who wasn't asking for any of that. So to be encountering that every single day, it's hard to remain cynical. Honestly, just became proud to be an American after this hike.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you. We're talking to Ken Ilgunis from the book Trespassing Across America, One Man's Epic, Never Done Before, and sort of a legal hike across the heartland. How did your perspective change at the end of this hike? Obviously, you've changed. I have to figure that you did change somewhat, at least your perspective on things, and I was wondering, what were those changes within you?
Well, I guess, one, it was just amazement in the people, as I said. And two, I kind of remember the time when I got the idea to hike this, and I had that flash of inspiration that I think we all know when we get like a crazy idea. And because it's a crazy idea, it's so easy to come up with excuses not to do it. But I think I've learned from this trip that you need to hold on to those ideas, those slippery ideas, and embrace them and follow through with them, because I never felt so at peace in my life. It was just like, because some inner part of me had been clamoring to do this, it meant something. I was never, when I was on the hike, I knew exactly where I was exactly where I needed to be. I wasn't questioning, you know, if I should go back to school or have this job or do that. I was exactly where I needed to be, and it was because I listened to that voice, and I was, and I always will because of that.
Since then, you've finished this hike across America. Are there other adventures for Kendall Gunas?
Oh, I got a couple in mind. Some of them are really radical. I have this one of traveling through time. I know it sounds crazy, but I think I've figured out a way to visit cultures that represent certain phases of history. And I kind of want to live out all of human history in 1 year. We'd probably need a whole other segment just to talk about that idea. But yeah, I've got some crazy ideas in mind.
Well, fantastic. Well, I can't wait to hear those experiences as you've chronicalized this one. I think it would be a fascinating read. And Ken, we appreciate your time today and continued success.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Ken has a new book coming out in early 2018, and we will hopefully have him back on the podcast to talk about that. I just love this man's adventurous spirit. Speaking of someone's spirit, I love Caroline Makepeace, sometimes known as Kaz, from the Wide Travel Blog, joins us. And Caroline, I always tell people that you have the best accent in all of travel. It's always a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Great to chat with you again.
Well, I asked you because I'm a big fan of your travel blog, the Wide Travel Blog, and you had a great blog post not too long ago about the top five costliest travel mistakes that we all make. And mm-hmm. I've made some of them before. And so I thought, you know what, let's talk about that. And so I invite you back on the show. But first of all, before we get to that, I want to tell everybody, you've been on our podcast before, but just give a little brief synopsis of you folks are from Australia, obviously, if they haven't picked up mm-hmm. on that yet. But you live currently, are you still living in the U.S. right now?
Yes, we sure are.
And where are you? Where did you decide? Is it? I can't remember exactly where you folks did. Did you decide to live in? It was either Oregon or Austin. I can't remember where it was that you decided to live.
No, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, I wasn't even close. I wasn't even close. All right, because I think the last time we talked, you hadn't decided where you're going to live yet.
Yeah, maybe that may have been right. Yeah, but we're based there, but we are traveling quite a lot. We just sort of come in and out of Raleigh. We're actually in the car at the moment on the way down to Orlando, to Florida for a couple of weeks.
Oh wow, that sounds fantastic! Disney World and Universal Studios?
Yeah, we're just doing Universal on this trip and Legoland.
Okay.
It gets a bit too crazy doing all the theme parks. I just couldn't cope doing all of them at once. So.
And you have two children, is that correct?
Yes, two daughters. They're 10 and 6.
Obviously, one of the highlights of your trip is probably going to be Harry Potter World.
Oh, absolutely. My daughter is a crazy mad fan. I am as well. So we're very excited to experience the park there.
Can I give you a travel tip, if I may?
Yes. Oh, please, yes.
Okay, this is what's so great about Universal Studios and Harry Potter World. The day before you go to the park, go online and Google Harry Potter World, like hidden things. There are so many little details that are kind of hidden, like a doorknob that you wouldn't think to grab, and what it does, it kind of shakes like someone's on the other side, and all sorts of things like that, or windows where someone will peek out for a moment every like minute or two. And there's tons of those at Harry Potter World that the folks included in there, and you would miss them if you didn't know to look for them, but they're online, and you can find them very easily.
That's fantastic. Thanks for that tip. I had no idea. And as I said, I mean, my daughter's, I've made her research for this trip to help plan for it. So I'm going to tell her that, and she can do a little bit more research. She'll be just thrilled to hear that.
Yes. My daughter is a big fan of Harry Potter. So we did all the research before we went, and there were so many cool things that we discovered that are just, that if you're a huge fan of the book or the movies, that you will find. So finally I got to give you a tip. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little about tips for everybody. Things that costly travel mistakes. And the first one is, and this saved me my last trip, I'm going a little bit out of order, is travel insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people think they don't need it. And look, it's not a sexy way to spend your money, is it? You're spending money on something that you hope never use. But it's there for peace of mind, really. And there's so much that can go wrong. We recommend travel insurance, whether you're traveling domestically or overseas. Recently, we were on a cruise out in the Western Caribbean when Hurricane Irma came along. So we had trip interruption and a whole lot of issues there that cost us $2,000 to fix up. But thankfully, our claim was accepted the other day. So because we had travel insurance, that money is being reimbursed to us. So there's just too much that can go wrong. We've had issues with passports before, computers breaking, all sorts of things like that. And travel insurance can really save you a lot. And it's really a very small amount that you do pay for that peace of mind.
Yeah, you know what? Recently, we went to Rome, and it was my parents, my dad's 80th birthday. That's the reason we were going. And the same thing happened. Yeah. They closed down the Orlando airport. He lives outside the Orlando area. They closed down the airport because of the hurricane. He totally missed the trip. They were able to refund the airline ticket, but we also got money back for his room because we had the travel insurance.
Yeah, yeah, it's really is worth it. It can be a very, very costly mistake if you don't have it.
Yeah, I always consider it, you know... it saved me a couple times. Definitely saved me a couple times. Kind of the number one thing on your list is not being prepared. You say that's the biggest, costliest travel mistake that people make. Kind of expand on that. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, we get stuck with this a lot because we are kind of last-minute travelers. And so often if you're traveling last minute, you can be paying premium prices. So if you're not doing your research properly, you know, before you invest so much money into a travel experience, do spend some time researching, you know, where are you going? Where can you get the best accommodation deals? When is the best time to stay there? Really research things like weather, because that can, like we went on a Caribbean cruise during hurricane season. Okay, so that probably wasn't a great idea. Those sorts of things, that research can really... help prepare you for things like that, where you can find the best deals. You know, and sometimes when you're not prepared, like if you're going out for a day exploring and you're rushing around last minute and you don't pack a bag full of snacks or food, then your last resort is, you know, pulling over on a road trip, pulling over at the gas station and paying premium price for food there, or eating out at expensive restaurants, that kind of thing. So a lack of preparation can really be very costly.
You know, we find that all the time. Our family goes on a lot of ski trips, and like my wife and daughter sometimes will only want to ski a half day. Well, then, you know, the good idea, the idea there would be to, you know what, why don't you ski after lunch? Because I can buy you a half day ticket after lunch and save a lot of money. Just one of the things that, you know, there's many, many ways to save money when you travel if you just know the ins and the outs.
Yeah, exactly. And it all comes down to research.
Well, and then also speaking of research, one of the things you say is try to avoid traveling in peak season to certain places if you can.
Yes, because peak season is going to be premium prices. And, you know, family travelers with children in school, that does make it very challenging because, you know, you do have that you've got to work around. But, yeah, you're going to be paying premium prices. You can get some great deals if you travel out of season to different places. And I think a lot of the time, you know, city destinations, but it doesn't really matter so much about the weather. I think they're sort of the kind of experiences where you can go out of season and not pay those premium prices and still have a great time.
You know, if you want to go to New York City to see a Broadway play, if you go like in the you know, the early months of the year when it's still a little bit colder up in New York, you can save incredible amounts of money on hotels and airfares.
Absolutely. And all you're doing there, I mean, you're going to be inside watching the Broadway, and most of the things in New York, you're going to be doing that. We've been to New York before when it's been snowing, and we were still out walking around the streets. It was fantastic. We're actually going there in a couple of weeks' time. So, you know, you still can have that wonderful experience but not pay those premium prices.
You know, another time of the year that people, especially if you've, you know, if you don't have kids in school to look at to travel, is the first couple of weeks of December, because very few people travel during that time frame, because they're saving their vacation time for the Christmas holiday and for that week between New Year's and Christmas. And I have found incredible bargains in the first couple of weeks of December. You could travel almost anywhere in the world and save tons of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you find those great times, we're going to Universal now because it's about to, you know, hit Thanksgiving and the theme parks between Thanksgiving and New Year's are like the busiest time of the year, so you pay premium prices then. So, you know, we've planned it to go a little bit before that happens.
This is one that I've always talked to people about, and I'm always wondering what people do, is the wrong way to access your money overseas. You know, there's it's amazing how things have changed in the past few years, because you literally can go to an ATM machine anywhere in the world and take money out of your bank account. That's not always the best idea, though.
No, it's not. And it's really important that you do check with your bank, whatever you use, to find out what those fees are going to be. You'll get some banks may not charge fees. Some will pay a certain amount for you to withdraw the money. Some will even, on top of that, if you withdraw money, add an international currency exchange fee on top, which I discovered coming over to the US with one of my Australian bank cards. And I was horrified to find out they were double whamming me with fees in that way. So it's very, very important that you do work that out. And if you are paying a fee just to withdraw money from the ATM, then you want to make sure that you're withdrawing a large amount at that time, which is always not such a great idea because you don't really want to be carrying large amounts of money around with you. And do investigate. Now, in the US, you are really fortunate. You do get a lot of credit cards where you can use overseas and not get the fees for using it. So do some research to find some of those cards that you can use. And the added bonus, if you do use those credit cards while you're overseas, or even if you're traveling domestically, you can earn reward points at the same time.
Yeah, I found that credit cards, in mine at least, you know, I always check before, you know, I go, but my credit cards seem to be, you know, very generous overseas. I got a great exchange rate. I don't get any added fees, but I've had to go to the ATM machine to get cash. And there's another thing, too. Sometimes when you're going to the ATM machine to get cash, you're not really in your mind. It's almost like play money. You're getting euros out. You know, you get 50 euros, but you don't realize that's like $70, U.S. dollars.
Yeah, exactly. So you really want to, you know, pause for a minute and think about, well, actually, how much am I withdrawing in my own currency? And one thing you want to make sure you do is never use the airport, the currency exchange there. You're going to get a very poor rate and lose a lot of your money.
Yes, the only time I ever use the airport is if I'm flying back home and it's like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter at this point. I'll just take the loss because I've got all this extra foreign cash. But yeah, my dad does say, though, that that when he goes to a foreign country and he does like to take money out, he likes the airport because he knows there's going to be an ATM machine there at the airport. And then the last thing, this is a great tip for everybody. Knowing why you want to travel and what you want out of the experience. I mean, if you just want to, well, why don't you expand on that? Because I think that's a great point when it comes to travel. Really, why are you going on vacation or why are you going on this trip?
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is where a lot of people make so many mistakes, and which ends up costing them a lot of money. They don't spend enough time. They sort of think, well, I've got vacation time coming up. Where can I go that's really exciting? Or where can a plane take me? How can I get overseas? Without really considering, well, what do I want to have out of that experience? Because sometimes you may just want a really restful vacation. So instead of, you know, spending a few thousand dollars getting on a plane to go to an all-inclusive resort down in the Caribbean, why not look for that experience that's closer to home, maybe rent a home on the beach, an Airbnb on the beach with a couple of friends, and you can just rest, relax there, have the exact same experience that you're searching for, except you're not paying high prices for it.
Yeah, you know what? You can, you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You can head on up to the Hill Country. There's a lot of resorts up there. You're not paying airfare to go up there. You're paying a lot less for your hotel. And you have a lot more, a lot more options to do because you can go into San Antonio or Austin, too. And you can save yourself incredible amounts of money.
Exactly. And then you come away with the exact feelings that you wanted to have on that vacation. You're rested, you're relaxed. You may have had some adventure. You may have been able to listen to some music and fulfill those desires that you have for a lot less.
Well, I hope you have a great time in Orlando with your family at Universal Studios. Are you going to be getting on any of the rides? Because they have a roller coaster there that's one of the most amazing roller coasters you've ever been on.
Oh, which one is that? I'll be doing it.
It's the one. It's like the Rock and Roll roller coaster, something like that. It's a music-oriented roller coaster, and it goes straight up and then straight down.
Sounds like my kind of roller coaster. I love the ride.
Well, Kaz, really appreciate your time. Have a great time in Orlando, and thanks again for the visit this morning.
Thanks for having me, Hawkeye.
Let me remind people before you go to check out our blog, travelwithhawkeye.net. Right there on the front page is a big dot. Just click on that blog. You can find links to Ken Lagunas' book, Trespassing Across America. And also, you know what I'm also going to put in there? I'm also going to put in our travel blog a link to some of the secrets, hidden things at Universal Studios, Harry Potter World, for if you're interested in that. And also a link to the Wide Travel Blog with Caroline Makepeace. I want to thank Ken and Caroline for being part of our podcast. And thank you for being part of it, too. This is Mark Hawkeye Lewis. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. Remember, your adventure awaits.